Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Manappuram Finance Q1 FY26 conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanket Chheda from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, and very good afternoon to all of you. We have with us the entire management team of Manappuram Finance to discuss their Q1 FY26 results. Starting with Mr. V.P. Nandakumar, then MD, Sumitha Nandan, ED, Mr. Deepak Reddy, sir, who is newly joined as CEO, Mr. Bindu A., who is the CFO, Raju Narayanan, Business Head, Dr. Roy Varghese, who is CEO of Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Rajesh, who is CFO, Mr. Kamal Parmar, who is Head Vehicle and Equipment Finance, Mr. Suvin P.S., who is the CFO of Manappuram Home Finance, Robin Karle, CFO of Manappuram Home Finance. Without further ado, I'll hand the call over to Mr. V.P. Nandakumar and then maybe Mr. Deepak Reddy, sir, for their opening remarks. We'll follow that up with the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on this earnings call. It is an honor to connect with you as we share a comprehensive overview of our financial and operational results for the first quarter of fiscal 2026. We value your ongoing engagement and support as we reflect on our performance and outline our strategic priorities moving forward. Today, we would also like to share a snapshot of the gold loan and microfinance industries in India and Manappuram Finance standing in them. We will also address the effect of recent regulatory changes and macroeconomic headwinds on the industry. At the outset, I would welcome Mr. Deepak Reddy as the new CEO of Manappuram Finance. He brings with him over three decades of extensive experience in leading diverse business verticals and managing human capital across prominent financial institutions. As CEO, he will be responsible for steering Manappuram Finance through the next phase of growth and innovation. This includes strengthening the company's core businesses of gold loans, vehicle loans, housing finance, and digital lending, while enhancing organization culture, leadership depth, governance, and customer centricity. Let me provide an overview of the macroeconomic scenario. Global growth is expected to remain steady at 3% in 2025, supported by easing inflation, a weaker U.S. dollar, and fiscal support in major economies. However, macroeconomic risks persist in terms of unresolved trade tensions, geopolitical tensions, regional conflicts, etc., which would undermine the growth projections. In India, economic activity in India is showing a trend trending up, driven by rural recovery, urban spending, and stronger credit transmission, and is on track to meet the projected GDP growth of 6.5%. Inflation is to a six-year low, prompting the RBI to cut the repo rate and CRR the last few months to boost the liquidity and support consumption. Recent U.S. tariff announcements on Indian imports is expected to pose limited GDP impact but add to external uncertainty, keeping the INR under pressure until trade clarity emerges. Given this backdrop, credit growth is expected to improve further as lower interest rates and better system liquidity spur lending across retail, MSME, and vehicle finance segments. And we remain optimistic on the evolving macroeconomic scenario. Let me start with an overview of our financial performance. Manappuram Finance, on a standalone basis, they recorded a revenue of 1,744.5 crores, marking a quarter-on-quarter growth of 0.2%. And standalone company earned a PAT of 392.1 crores against the PAT of 414.4 crores in Q4 FY25. The consolidated company's revenue in Q1 stood at 2,265 crores compared to 2,329 crores of the previous quarter. Our consolidated profit after tax before other comprehensive income and minority interests for the quarter stood at 132.5 crores compared to the loss of 203.2 crores of the previous one. For Q1 of FY25-26, the board has declared an interim dividend of 50 paise. Profitability of the consolidated company impacted mainly on account of stress in the microfinance sector. Our gold loan business remains a core strength of our portfolio, delivering consistent margins and stability. We propose to increase the gold loan portfolio at a consolidated level of 75% of total loan portfolio in a phased manner. To attract more borrowers, we have introduced various gold loan schemes at comprehensive prices to drive our gold loan strategy. We also intend to augment additional gold loan customer base through Ashirwad, leveraging the relaxations in the qualifying asset criteria of MFIs. The proposal of co-lending will increase further the share of our gold loan in the consolidated AEM as well as our fee income. We continue to strengthen our governance structure to ensure compliance with the regulations and provide better customer satisfaction. Along with increasing the share of gold loan in the portfolio, we plan to grow our housing loans, secured MSME lending business, and commercial vehicle and auto loan portfolios in a prudent manner within an overall ceiling of 90%. Gradual decline of microfinance portfolio in the consolidated company will be reduced to 10%. The statutory and regulatory guidelines are favorable for the sustenance and growth of NBFCs in general. The recent regulatory guidelines on gold loan is expected to provide a level playing field for all the regulated entities. The latest harmonized RBI guidelines on co-lending will bring in harmony between the banks and NBFCs who are operating at the grassroots level. Moreover, Manappuram Finance now has the advantage of leveraging Bain Capital's extensive expertise in financial services within India, alongside our impressive track record. The Bain Capital investment will be aimed at facilitating the growth of all our non-banking financial services business. Dr. Shailesh J. Mehta, Chairman, Independent Director, will be completing two terms as per the provisions of the Companies Act 2013 and SEBI Listing Regulations effective 27 August 2024. Accordingly, Board at today's meeting decided to appoint Mr. V.P. Nandukumar, MD, as the Chairman with effect from August 28, 2025. Now, I invite Mr. Deepak Reddy, CEO, to say a few words, and thereafter, Mrs. Bindu Ayal, President and CFO, to provide a more comprehensive review of our financial performance, including detailed segment analysis, asset quality metrics, and key financial pursuits. Thank you for your attention, and we look forward to addressing your questions during Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, and good evening to all of you. It's indeed a privilege to be speaking to you all, and thank you for joining this call. It's been only a few days since I joined the company, and hence it will be premature for me to comment on company performance, current or go-forward strategy, or to give any sort of guidance. You can expect that from me in the quarters to come. Having said that, I must state that I feel privileged to lead the company into its next phase of evolution and growth. This feeling has only grown stronger since I formally joined the company last Friday. I am very excited and confident of future performance and possibilities of the company. At this stage, I can only state that you can expect me to run a transparent and forward-looking company that is growth-oriented and with a strong culture of risk prudence, operating rigor, and managed by strong and enthusiastic teams. Thank you all very much, and I look forward to interacting with all of you going forward, and also looking forward to all your support. Thank you, and once again, thank you for joining this call.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to the key highlights of our operational performance across the businesses, gold loan portfolio remains our core strength, accounting for 65% of consolidated AUM compared to 59.5% in Q4 FY25. Consolidated AUM stood at Rs. 28,802 crore, Q-on-Q growth of 12.6% and 21.8% YOY in spite of heightened competition. We added 3.58 lakh new customers during the quarter, bringing the total active customer base to 25.9 lakhs. Average LTV at 57% and 85% of the loan book now sourced through online gold loan platform. Our standalone PAT for the quarter was Rs. 392 crore versus 414 crore on account of lower income from the non-gold, mainly from the non-gold businesses. AUM for Asirvad, including gold loans of Rs. 1111 crore stood at Rs. 6,705, which is down by 18% sequentially and 45% YOY. As you are aware, the microfinance sector experienced a considerable stress primarily due to the increased borrower defaults from over-leverage and led to higher credit costs. This negatively impacted the profitability. Asirvad posted a loss of Rs. 267 crore in Q1 compared to a loss of Rs. 624 crore in Q4 FY25. The net NPA at 1.4%, that is 84 crore, compared to Rs. 177 crore in Q4 and the CRAR at 23.6%. Our vehicle finance AUM at Rs. 4,492 crore. This represents a decline of 5.9% Q on Q and up by 1.1% YOY. Considering the asset quality challenges, especially from the two-wheeler and farm segment, we tightened the underwriting. With low disbursement, the GNPA increased to 9.2% as on 30th June 2025. The home loan portfolio reached rupees 1,901 crore, reflecting a growth of 4.3% Q on Q and 19.8% YOY increase. This business operates from 89 branches and reported a profit of 7 crore during the quarter with a GNPA of 2.87%. Loans to MSME and the allied sectors stood at rupees 3,105 crore with a disbursement of rupees 346 crore. For Q1 FY 2026, our consolidated AUM stood at rupees 44,304 crore, reflecting a sequential growth of 3% and 1.4% decline on a YOY basis. Consolidated PAT rupees 1,132 crore, an increase of 165% over the previous quarter, and a decline of 76% YOY. Capital position remains strong at CRAR of 28.71% and the net worth at rupees 12,504 crore. Book value per share stood at rupees 147.7. ROA of 3.8% on the standalone AUM, and the leverage remains conservative at 2.5 times. Standalone GNPA at 3% and the liquidity position as on 30th June, rupees 4047 crore with undrawn bank lines of rupees 3220 crore. During the quarter, we have seen a minor decline in the cost of borrowing by 2 basis points. Thank you. Thank you once again for your continued support and confidence.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is that in the gold loan space, we have seen good growth QOQ, but, I see that our yields have dropped from, say, 22% to, say, 20.5%. So is this like a conscious strategy or is it because of competition or, just if you can just give some idea on what's happened here?
So it's a conscious strategy to bring it on par with leading players in the NBFC industry slowly. So that is yielding results. And that is not, as per our assessment, that is not going to impact our gold loan income during the current year because of the depression in the yield. The depression in the yield will be compensated by the growth. So in the coming quarters, it will be reflected in the result.
Got it. And just we are at 20.5, maybe 200 bips more versus competition, we are higher. So you are saying that we will eventually reach that 18-19% which the general market is at, right?
Definitely with the growth, slowly we are bringing down. We are trying to protect our budgeted income from gold loan also parallel.
Right. Okay, sir. Sir, and second is on the microfinance. Have we seen the worst or maybe one or two more quarters of pain? Because some states are doing okay, some states are still not doing okay.
In the last quarter also, I told you the worst is over. Now, things are coming back. And we are hoping things will improve towards the last quarter. Should turn green. That is our expectation.
Okay. So losses would be topped in Aashirvad also, right, from next quarter, or it like maybe later?
John, Digam?
The losses in microfinance, sir. Losses in microfinance.
It will come down, definitely. It is coming down.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. My first question is on the gold loan book. We had indicated in the last quarter itself that we are cutting rates so that we can acquire more customers, particularly in the high ticket size. Now, the customer count growth has been fairly limited. Majority of the AUM growth has come from higher ticket size. So have we just cut lending rates in the higher ticket size, or is it across bucket cutting rates? Is it not helping us acquire more customers, because one would have expected the volume growth also to be contributing to the overall AUM growth? That's my first question. My second question is on the MFI book, Aashirvad book. So I understand we want to make this book 10% of our MFI overall mix and all that, but somehow your customer count for the past two quarters has been revised downwards. Can you help us understand that, what has been the reason for that? And my third question is obviously on the deal, what all approvals are left. Any update that you can give us on that would be useful. Thank you.
So first question about gold loans, the customer growth, because we have started reducing the rate, we plan to reduce across the board gradually, so in a very calibrated manner. So gradually you will see the volume growth also, customer count also, because the communication in the community takes little time, right? So the first response comes from the existing customers and some high volume customers. So slowly you will see this action resulting in better gold loan growth in the coming quarters. Regarding MFI book, yes, we are strictly following the guardrails set by SROs. We have improved our system, and to the systems completely in place, the computer system, it took some time. So gradually the business is increasing and we are very tight in underwriting, as I have mentioned. Regarding the Bain deal, it is progressing smoothly as expected. CCI approval is already we got, and next we are expecting the NSE/BSE approval. We expect maybe through in a fortnight. So also the most important approval from the principal regulator RBI, that is expected within another 1 month. Everything is going smoothly. Thank you.
Got it, sir. This is very useful. Just a follow up, the MFI customer count, you said because you have upgraded your computer system, that's why there has been an update to the earlier count. Is that the reason? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushan Parikh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. So just to harp on the previous participant's question, we have in the past, we have not seen for ourselves or for the industry that cutting prices, cutting lending rates has helped gold loan growth. Just wanted to understand why are we more confident of getting growth by cutting yields this time around? And secondly, if you could just share the gold loan yields for 1Q and the gold loan auctions as well. And lastly, if you could provide some guidance towards the trajectory of credit cost moderation at Aashirvad, that would be helpful. Yeah, those are the questions from my side.
Gold loan cutting price we have been doing consistently. So we want to mark that to the market along with the leading players in the NBFC industry. We are doing it gradually, as I said, in a calibrated manner, ensuring that the projected income from gold loan is also achieved with even though the yield reduction is there. It is done in a phased manner, piloting at various places and seeing success. It is slowly getting expanded to give wider publicity. We are using social media, and better CRMs, etc. So the results will be available in the coming quarters. The NPAs are showing a reduction. Yes, we've seen that. The tempo is getting slowly improved. So also the quality dispersals with the tight handwriting using the SRO guidelines, etc. That is already implemented. The collections are improving slowly. You will see the better results in the coming quarters, and we hope towards the end of this year, the last quarter, we'll be able to turn around. To share some
options during the quarter, 51 crore.
And the gold loan yield for the quarter?
20.7%. Average yield of 20.7%.
Understood. This was really helpful. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Bindu, you just said gold loan yields of 20.7% on 1Q. If you could also remind us what was the yield in the fourth quarter. And the related question here, while Nandakumar sir said that the idea is to bring down the gold lending rates to be on par with the leading gold NBFC players, right? So I think today the leading gold NBFC players are all at around 17.5-18%. So are we saying that over a period of time, our gold loan yields will also gravitate towards 18%? If the answer is yes, over what period, over how many quarters can we expect this gold loan yield to gravitate towards that 18%?
So we are planning to bring it to similar to the market in a phased manner. In around six quarters, we are planning and we are expecting the yield reduction matching with the growth will not impact our budgeted income from the gold loans for the current year. That's why I am repeatedly telling this is done in a very calibrated manner. Even assessing what is the impact on the projected income and actual income, realized income, how is it going to be? So on the basis of that, the reduction is happening slowly. So I hope in 4 to 6 quarters, we'll bring that more or less on par with the leading players.
Got it. And so just a related question. Yeah, ma'am, please go ahead.
Last quarter, the yield was 22.2 and this quarter, 20.7%.
Got it. So, ma'am, almost 2.5% have been shaved off in one quarter. And then, ma'am, why should it take 4 to 6 more quarters for us to get towards 18%? 150 basis points have been shaved off.
That's what I told. Yeah. So, we, on the one side, we have some projections for the year with regard to gold loan income. So, we are able to assess whether we are in the right direction to achieve that budgeted income. Accordingly, we reduce. So
got it, sir.
Yes.
And sir, what is the
added to that? We expect the reduction in borrowing costs. That also will be passed on to the customers, so that even before the expected period, we'll be able to match our rates with the leading rates.
Got it, sir. Got it. And then, sir, I mean, given that we've already seen a very strong first quarter, now internally, what are we targeting for the full year gold loan growth?
We feel like this year will be better than the previous year.
Got it, sir.
Yeah.
And then I had one question for Deepak, sir. Sir, you already spelled out in your opening remarks that you don't want to be speaking about the strategy going forward, given that it's early. But sir, given that whenever leaders like you join a company, I'm sure they have something in mind with regards to how they want to shape the company. So one thing very clearly, right, what we have articulated as a strategy already is over a period of time, we want to bring our gold lending rates on par with the leading gold NBFC players. And to that end, what I assume is even if that would mean the margins and the ROAs are lower, we want to bring higher leverage on the balance sheet so that we can maybe deliver the same ROEs. So just trying to understand, sir, from you, what is it that you have in mind? Are there people that you'll be looking to onboard in your leadership team, people who will be reporting into you? At an overall level, right? I mean, how are you thinking about the company going forward?
Okay. Thanks for your question. I want to duck the question and I'll tell you why. Do I have some thoughts of what we need to do? Do I have some thinking around it? Is there a plan that's shaping in my mind? The answer is yes. But it's definitely premature for me, basis 5 days experience in the company, to state at this August forum what, exact strategy going forward. You can be rest assured that once I get a better, better feel of the company, I go further down, I travel, I meet people and validate some of my hypothesis and what I want to do, we will share a strategy at the appropriate time. Very strong thoughts and exciting thoughts, but I'm sorry, very, very premature for me to comment on that at this stage.
Sure, sir. I understand that. And lastly, one question for Bindu, ma'am. Ma'am, you said that this quarter the cost of borrowing has declined by 2 basis points QOQ. Just trying to understand how is our liability mix positioned, particularly on the bank borrowing side. So do you expect that in the coming quarters, right, second quarter, third quarter, when banks start passing on MCLR cuts, that's where our cost of borrowings will start benefiting, or how should we think about it? And also a related question, while the portfolio cost of borrowings are down 2 basis points QQ, where are we stacking up on the incremental cost of borrowings?
Okay. So on the cost of borrowing, what you said is exactly what we have seen from the banking system. So we are seeing slowly banks are reducing the MCLR, which is beneficial. But at the same time, the mix of borrowing, we are trying to have, or the banks also want to have long-term facilities. So the short-term mix is coming down. It is only 26% is the working capital demand on CP is around 4%, etc. So in the coming quarters, we can see the reductions in the MCLR rates, which will give us benefit. With the capital coming in, all those things, we can see a better negotiation with the banks.
Got it, ma'am. This is useful. Thank you, and I will come back in the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thank you. And welcome to Mr. Deepak Reddy in the company. So my first question on MFI, we have gone through this cycle multiple times in the past. So has anything changed structurally or on ground that we intend to now cap this at 10-odd%? I mean, we have seen the ebbs and flows multiple times. So why this change now?
So the change is in the underwriting policy. So we with the change in regulation, we have been following the assessment policy and other regulatory guidelines. And now this post this scenario of bad performance of MFI, the SROs have come forward and do it some guardrails. So we are strictly following that. Other than that, we have not done anything. So we see a lot of opportunity there also because the MFI with the new underwriting standards, we feel like the asset quality will remain high. It may go to somewhere near to pre-COVID asset quality. And secondly, where we see opportunity there is gold loan. We are in discussion with banks for the opportunity for co-lending, and few of the banks have come forward with a lot of enthusiasm. And now the revised guidelines, as I mentioned earlier, has come, which are seen very positive with regard to co-lending. So that gives the company a wonderful opportunity to grow gold loan. And this will definitely reshape the company in the coming quarters.
Correct. And sir, second, a clarification on the gold. What you are saying is it's to attract the high ticket 5 lakh plus customers to whom we have to give lower yields, right? It's not for those 50,000 ticket size where we have lower yields.
So we are gradually introducing across the board. For all tickets, our idea is to be customer friendly with regard to pricing in comparison with the market.
Correct. So this 5 lakh plus share, which I think last quarter we had shared was 15-16%. So where is it now? And I mean, where are we benchmarking this to, say 4-6 quarters out?
We are benchmarking with the other players. So, as I have been telling, this is done in a phased manner, in a calibrated manner. And sure, on the one side, we want to ensure that the budgeted income is achieved and we are able to achieve leverage our capital better. So the pricing depends on the market conditions. So we see some stability there amongst the top 3-4 players. So gradually, as I mentioned earlier, we plan to reach that level.
So where have we reached and what is the plan for 6 quarters? I mean, this 5 lakh plus ticket size, what is the mix in our portfolio right now and what does it have to be or what does this the 2-3 other players have it at?
Now it is 19%, second to 15% in last quarter.
Yes. And this peers that we want to achieve, this is what, 25-30%?
Yeah, from the market we came to know that they are at 30% level.
These are not publicly
disclosed, right? Fair. And sir, you said our plan is to match the budgeted numbers for this year. So, on the gold loan side, this was on the revenue or on the profits?
On the revenue as well as profit.
Fair enough. But, sure. And sir, last, if you can, one comment on our vehicle and MSME. I mean, the NPAs there have shot up through the roof. I mean, we have kind of curtailed lending also there. At least the the quarter on quarter the growth is not coming or there's a degrowth. So if you can some comments there, I mean, what kind of pain we are seeing, where in the cycle are we?
In MSME, we had around 5% property which was unsecured. So the major challenge has come from that in MSME. And another thing, this quarter we did some ARC also, that also has a bearing on the profitability. But now we have consolidated many things and we are hopeful of bringing down the OPEX also by 2% towards the end of this year gradually. So the more focus is on the asset quality. So we are refocusing our business to take the average ticket size, which is currently around 5 lakhs to around 8-9 lakhs towards the end of this year. We have devised strategy for that and we hope that this will improve, the this strategy will improve performance. With regard to the portfolio, we had challenges in some of the segments we were in, like farm equipment, which we thought it is not our cup of tea, so we exited. So similarly, in two-wheeler also, we have remodeled to an automated underwriting system so that the cost is reduced. So this has brought down our dispersal, but it will gradually become. Now our renewed strategies focus on slightly larger tickets, both on the used commercial vehicle as well as used car sector. So this is the strategy, and there also the average ticket size remains around 6-7 lakhs, and we intend that to be taken to around 10 plus to and attract customers of a relatively higher profile. That's the best.
Fair enough. No, great. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Sir, my first question is on the gold loan industry itself. Sir, are we seeing that the competition is going up in the market now post the RBI guideline and the clarity from the regulator about the regulations? Are we seeing that more players coming into the market? Are the existing players intensifying their, you know, strategy and game? And on the other side, are we also seeing that the demand for gold loan is suddenly rising across ticket sizes because the other avenues of loans are not freely available, so much available as before? So how do you assess the demand and supply side of the gold loan market playing out, and whether lowering the yield then in that case should get us the desired volume growth? Because I think value growth is right now, but if the gold price were to stabilize in the future, does lowering the yield will give us the desired volume growth, and what will be that desired volume growth that we would want to be at?
So the smaller ticket size, that is below 1 lakh, there, because of the regulatory changes like transferring money into bank account, etc., etc., is showing negativity there. Because these small borrowers, borrowing up to 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, there is a tendency for going to the unorganized sector borrowers, money lenders. But more and more customers are coming from the higher ticket size. So now with the new regulation concerning gold loan, has definitely created a level playing field. The opportunity is there. And of course, the opportunities for borrowing the unsecured loans, that is coming down, which has actually is positive for gold loan. Regarding competition, any business which is attractive will have the competition. But the thing is, for any new player to create an infra like us or some leading players, with so many employees, very well trained, you can assess the purity by the mere feel and touch, and also the security infrastructure, creation of large security infrastructure across India would take time. I'm not saying that it is impossible, it is possible, but it takes time. And that's where we stand to gain with our pricing strategy and other strategies in the gold loan market.
So, sir, if for example, if the gold price is stabilized with this pricing strategy that we are executing, what kind of growth we can maintain?
It will be on par with the market. On par with the market. When we grow with the larger ticket size, we need to understand the attitude of such customers who are of a better profile. So we need to reset our infrastructure, everything. So parallelly we are doing all this. So the momentum which will be seen in the large players with regards to the gold loan growth, we are confident of achieving that level going forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And just a few data points on Ashirvad.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request you to please follow up the queue? As there are several
parts. Sure, I'll come back.
Yeah, thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, again, thank you for taking my question. First thing is, Raju sir, every earnings call you share the split of gold loans by ticket size. If you could just help us with that.
Yeah. Up to 1,36.5, 1 to 2 lakh 21.3, 2 to 5 lakh 23.1, above 5 lakh 19.1.
So above 5 lakh, what did you say?
19.1.
Okay. Right. The second question that I had was for Bindu ma'am. Last quarter also you had guided that the peak is now behind, and in this quarter also we saw credit costs coming down in microfinance. So while a couple of participants have already asked this, but for the benefit of all of us, if you could just guide on maybe the full year credit costs in microfinance in this year that you are expecting.
So what we have seen, Q4, that was the highest credit cost, and it is almost half in this quarter. I think, as already mentioned by sir, last quarter we are expecting a profit from the microfinance business. So in the coming quarters, we will see at least 30% reduction from the credit cost to what we reported in Q1.
Got it, ma'am. But this is useful. And lastly, ma'am, in the standalone notes to accounts, I was seeing that we have done a assignment transaction and ARC transaction in the quarter. So if you could just help us understand this assignment transaction was in which product, and likewise the ARC transaction, which pool of NPAs have we sold?
So the ARC and the DA we are done in MSME secured book. So the DA transaction, which is coming at a better pricing, so the net income is only 5 crore from that. We did a 150-160 crore DA, and ARC is 50 crore again from the secured book. As these are small ticket loans, NBFCs can get the SARFAESI proceeding started with the ARC sale. So the idea is to have a more rigorous follow-up with the borrowers to collect the money through SARFAESI proceedings.
Got it. And last question for Nand Kumar, sir. Sir, earlier during this call, you said that we are in discussion with banks for opportunities in co-lending. I just wanted to clarify these opportunities that you're talking about. You're talking about co-lending opportunities in gold loans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In Ashirwad,
because Ashirwad has around 1,600 branches. Out of that, 500 branches are exclusively gold loan branches. Then that 1,100 branches are offering microfinance. This infrastructure also can be upgraded and utilized for gold lending also, so through gold lending more. So that is a relaxed this qualifying asset criteria. We'll be able to mobilize a good amount of gold loan there also. Because Ashirwad has a large network, expanded network, and very large customer base and community connection. That can be that situation can be taken advantage.
Got it, sir. This is very, very useful. Thank you for patiently answering all my questions, and I wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope my voice is audible. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is on gold loan AUM on our standalone entity, parent level, Manappuram Finance. Yeah. So on quarter-on-quarter basis versus Q4 of FY25, our AUM has increased by almost double digit, that is 12%, whereas in tonnage, growth is hardly there, just 1%. Number of customers also almost flat, just 0.4%. So if you can give some colors on that, what exactly were the factors which helped the company to grow this AUM by 12%?
Our LTV remains around 58%. When the gold price goes up, the people simply won't borrow because the gold price has gone up. Because while borrowing, they have the clarity about the inflow of cash, cash flow, thereby they can redeem within 4-5 months' time. So, if it fits into their cash flow, only they borrow. So what actually happens is, when the gold price goes up, the security they bring in, collateral, that quantity they reduce. And when the price goes down, just the opposite happens. Actually, price has so much bearing with regard to the AUM. AUM growth is driven by the demand. The opportunity is because the unsecured borrowing, the opportunities have come down. So this is an opportunity for gold lending too. And also now, with the more players coming in, and the banks also, like another advantage is, the popularity of this gold loan is also increasing. That's why the customers from middle class and upper middle class also started using that to meet their business requirements and other requirements.
Within this, just a follow-up, because I'm unable to digest that, just because the price of the gold has moved up, and that has helped the AUM growth by just 12%, whereas the number of customers has remained flat.
Mm-hmm.
So if CFO ma'am can help me understand, if the number of customers, gold customers, has remained almost flat, somewhere around 26 lakh, right? So within that, what percentage of customers were new to Manappuram in Q1 of FY26 in terms of percentage, right? And what were our existing customers to whom the loan was renewed? Because if I recollect it correctly that we have a short-term tenure gold loan which we extend maybe 3 months or 6 months, right? So what percentage of our customers within this was new to customer to Manappuram?
Before that, I told you one thing. Is a smaller ticket size because of the regulatory challenges these customers have. There is a tendency to moving to one broker. That's up to 1 lakh. So the growth is coming from mainly from 1 lakh plus. So this segment is growing and it will grow. So that's why the number of customers, even though the number of customers remained at that level, we are able to get the growth because of that, not because of the price has gone up. Yeah, next.
So during the quarter, we added 3.5 lakh new customers. And the reason for less number of customer addition in the outstanding, because the customers mostly we were able to attract in the high ticket segment. But the small ticket customers, we have seen a reduction. So that is the reason net outstanding number of customers has not changed much. But we were able to add 3.5 lakh new customers. Any other data points we can take offline, if that is fine.
Thank you, Laura. My second question is, our gold loan branches are stagnant at 4044, whether it is QoQ basis or YoY basis. So is there any regulatory restriction in opening the gold loan branches, or we are not keen in expanding the gold loan branches across the length and breadth of the country?
For gold loan companies, there is a restriction in opening branches beyond 1,000. But the restriction is we need to seek prior approval from RBI for every branch. We have submitted application for opening branches and we hope to get it soon. But now the main transaction is under processing by the RBA. So as per this, until this transaction is over, they don't take up these things. So we are expecting the RBA approval to be received by the next, probably by the next month. And without much delay, we expect the new branch applications also to be sanctioned.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agam from Agam Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. A quick question. I mean, in next month, can you give a color again? I mean, on a non-gold portfolio, especially on the MSME side and the vehicle finance, I mean, for the last few quarters, we have been, you know, not growing much and the asset quality has also been worsening. So what is the thought process here going ahead? How are we shaping our AUM here? And when can we see a, let's say, growth firing across all our concern level book going ahead? So if you can throw color on all of it. Thanks.
So we are re-strategizing our business plans. Now, Bain Capital also have joined. Their and knowledge in the industry also would help. So, the growth strategy is to, one, use the opportunities for to grow gold loan. As I mentioned, we are matching the pricing gradually with the markets and attracting higher ticket customers like others.
Yes.
The second, using co-lending models, we gradually plan to expand the gold loan business in our subsidiaries also. First, we are trying to do it in Asirvad, There's an opportunity for in non-gold. Asirvad non-gold branches. There are 1100 branches. Later, we are after testing the success, we may extend the gold loan business to other subsidiaries also gradually. So this way we expect our branches to grow, gold loan branches to grow to around 5,000 plus towards the end of this year. So that's the expected. It's an opportunity for growth. As I said, pricing matching the market plus the geographical expansion of this business through our non-gold branches through quality. These are the opportunities we see. The other businesses are in a consolidation phase. One in affordable housing, etc. The average ticket size is around 5 lakhs. So we are moving to around average ticket size of around 8 to 15 lakhs. So with improved underwriting. So that when the business is refocused, we believe the asset quality will improve. So also the employee productivity will improve. So we have drawn up a definite plan to improve the productivity month on month. And we are confident that it will improve the profitability of this gold loan. I mean, this housing finance as well as MSME vehicles. So we are again consolidating in the sense that we are moving out of this risky segments. Like we have already moved out of farm equipment and the bringing down the OPEX in two-wheeler by automated underwriting systems, etc. So that reduced number of people and also the asset quality is improved because the underwriting is automated. So this way the non-gold businesses are in a very consolidated phase and we are confident that these are going to be the opportunities for both the infrastructure as well as business. These are going to be the opportunities going forward.
Okay. This helps. So broadly going ahead, the more focus will be on the gold loan side. Is it the way to understand this?
That's what's planned. That doesn't mean that we are ignoring the other sectors, but we are re-strategizing. One strategy I told you to ticket size to move up from 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs. Because then the employee productivity will improve. So the OPEX can be brought down. Then the asset quality will be naturally better because the underwriting standards are better. Then another thing, one challenge we face is even with the takeover, these small houses where they borrowed around 4-5 lakhs, the saleability is very low. There is a saleability as well as the people's fear of losing home. That pride, that also would be better. So this way, by improving the ticket size, improving the asset quality, bringing improving our automated underwriting systems, using various technologies, derivative various technologies, these are in place.
So let's say, this year in nearly the 35% Indian non-gold which is there, should this number go down to 20%? Or how should one look at this?
It is expected to go down. And gold is expected to rise.
So currently 80-20? Anything you can share?
Now it is 65. And 65-35 gradually will reach to 75-25.
So 25 will be the rest. So that
yes.
that would be majorly microfinance and housing or how?
In my opening remarks, already I mentioned we intend to increase our secured to 90% and bring down the unsecured microfinance to below 10% of our consolidated AUM.
Okay. And in terms of on the Ashirvad side, in terms of write-off and impairment, are we done with this quarter or there is yet some loss to be provided, to be provided for?
So the provisions are based on the slippages during the quarter. So based on the slippage, 70% is the provision coverage ratio. Continuously we are monitoring the collection and based on the slippages, we have to create a provision. So, but maximum effort is going for collection.
So, are we there in terms of reaching the previous levels in terms of collection efficiency and credit cost?
I couldn't get that.
So let's say, when things were good in our cycle, so are we there? Are we reaching those times? I'm trying to get that.
So we started disbursements with the tightened underwriting norms. But as the disbursement is lesser than the rundown, the book is running down. And wherever collections are showing better, we are focusing more on the disbursement in those states. In difficult places, we are focusing more on the senders where the collection is better.
Okay. Thank you so much. This helps.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushan Parikh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up. Just a data keeping question. You shared the mix by ticket size for this quarter. Could you share the same for 4Q FY25? Thank you.
To 1,40.2, 1 to 2,21.75, 2 to 5,22, above 5,16.
Sorry, above 5,00,000 was?
16.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you for the active participation and questions which were all very relevant. And we look forward for interacting with you. Whoever wants to have the data, we are ready to share with you. Thank you so much.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.